you something you just can't stand. We've been getting to know each other very well, haven't we? And we go on and we get into the scriptures and we talk about things that we need to hear from the Word of God. Today, I feel led to talk about the family dynamic of patience and self-control. And the title of our Bible study this morning is At Your Age. And I have wrestled with great wrestlings over this teaching today. And the premise and the thought that I had coming to this message in Bible study was that it is the responsibility of the older people to teach the younger. And I'm assuming that most everybody that's in here this morning, except for a very few of you, are older people. Originally, I had entitled the message, You're Never Too Old. And I was looking on the internet for stuff, but the stuff that I was pulling up wasn't very inspirational. So I abandoned, like the 77-year-old lady that decided to go back to college, but I abandoned all of that. And what I really want to talk about, and we talked to the men, and we preached it straight. And I know that the men were uncomfortable, and that is exactly my intention in preaching the Word of God, is to make the men uncomfortable. When I preached to the women, it was the same thing. We preached to them to make them uncomfortable. When we talked about mutual love and respect, and we talked about sibling rivalry, we did all of that, and the title of the message was Kids Will Be Kids, and then we studied at our home groups that adults will be adults. And we do that to make people uncomfortable, and we're trying to deal with the real issues, the real principles behind the things that we are struggling with in our family dynamics. Today, I am thinking, I was going to talk to the grandparents, I was going to talk to the older people, and I decided to entitle this today, Act Your Age. And I wanted to say here that nobody said it was going to be easy to teach the younger people. How many of you older have found it to be sometimes difficult to teach the younger generation? How many of you have found them a little bit hard-headed and somewhat deaf, and you wonder if they're not just plain old dumb? And you wonder to yourself if they're ever going to figure it out. But I see this dynamic in the church and in the communities. You know what we do with our old people today? We take them and we put them in nursing homes. And I realize, and I'm not preaching against nursing homes, and I'm not trying to make you feel like a lesser human being because you have a parent in the nursing home. I realize that we are living in difficult times, and I realize that we have a lot of struggles and things that we face. And I realize that everybody comes with a unique skill set and relationship dynamic with their parents. But it is a detriment to our society for the older people to be locked away in facilities with virtually no freedoms or rights of their own, while the young people go around and just do whatever they please. The Bible teaches us inadvertently that the older people should teach the younger. Amen. Nobody said that the younger people was going to want to listen to you. That is irrelevant. That just goes with the territory. And nobody said that they were going to be cooperative and easy to get along with. That just goes with the territory. Regardless, that's why the older are the ones teaching the younger, because the older are the ones that have the experience, and the older are the ones that have the patience to get the job done. I'm getting an amen from one of my younger members here today. So this message today will make you uncomfortable, and I will say some things that you may not like. But I'm here to tell you that it doesn't matter how old you are, if you are alive and living and breathing on this earth and taking up space on this earth, and you call yourself a Christian and a saint of God, you have a responsibility to the body of Christ, to your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, to act your age and to share your knowledge and wisdom with them, so that when you die and pass off of this earth, that the struggles and the trials and the tribulations that you went through and the lessons that you learned will not die when you are buried, but they will live on in the hearts of your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. You have a job to do while you still have breath on this earth.
That's right.
Sister Hayes, nobody said it was going to be easy. And I'm sure that there are some days when you want to throw in the towel. I'm sure that there are some days when you just want to slap some jaws. I'm sure that there are some days when you just want to tell it like it is. Amen? But I'm here to preach to you. I need to get going in my message here. We're going to run out of time. I need to preach to you today, the elders of our church. You need to act your age. Let's turn in our Bibles, if you would. You might know there's so many good scriptures today. I think it doesn't matter which one we pick. It'll all be good and awesome. Let's turn to Titus, which is where I started my Bible study this week. And it's towards the end of the Bible, so it's easy to find. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. Chapter number 2. There's more children running amok in our society because the elders are not taking their place at the table. Titus chapter number 2, verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men. That's not talking about deacons. That's not talking about presbyters. That's not talking about elders. That's talking about old. Okay? That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now, why would Paul write this letter to Titus about the aged, the older people in the church? Why would he write this letter, Brother Philip, and give instructions to the older people in the church if there wasn't a problem? Or maybe he was just reminding them. But more likely than not, there was some problems. And nobody said it's going to be easy to get old. Not only do you have all of this added responsibility upon you, not only do you have all these additional names of kids to remember, and sometimes you can't even get your own kids' names right. In addition to that, you have the frailty of your body, and your hearing is going, and your taste is going, and your agility has left you, and your sight has left you, and your teeth have left you, and just about everything that you ever valued in life has left you. And you don't feel sometimes like you have anything left to live for. But I'm here to tell you today that there is one thing that you have. There is one thing that you have that this church needs, that your family needs, and that this society needs. And that is your age. Because with age comes experience. Write that down in your notes. With age comes experience. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 4. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance or patience. And endurance produces character or experience. And that word experience simply means a faith that has been tested. And character produces hope. I was making myself some hot chocolate this morning. I don't remember exactly what time it was. It was probably about 6 o'clock this morning. I was making myself some hot chocolate. And I've gotten into the habit of getting up early on Sunday mornings. And my alarm first went off. I thought, what is that noise? Going off at 5 o'clock, what is that noise? I'm really annoyed with the coffee cups because some of them, when you put milk in them, put them in the microwave, you're supposed to be able to hit the beverage setting, and it just heats it up just to the right temperature. But for some reasons, not all coffee cups are made the same. Not all coffee cups are created equal. And some coffee cups, you put it in there, and it makes it nice and hot. There's a little sticky film on top, and it's perfect. And you put that same amount of milk in a different coffee cup, and it boils over and gets all over the microwave. How many of you ever experienced that? Isn't that annoying? Yes. So I'm looking through the pantry trying to find the right coffee cup, Brother Patrick, so that my hot chocolate won't half spill out. And what I have to do with it is you have to put it in there pure, and then what you do is the problem is you can't put hot chocolate in, put cold milk on top of it, and then put it in the microwave, and it just comes out perfect. It don't work like that. You have to get the milk hot first. Then you put your hot chocolate in next. But it's a real pain to put the hot chocolate in next because you can put the hot chocolate on top and it's all on top and you try to stir it and it all falls out on the table and it spills everywhere. So what I have to do is when I get my hot chocolate, when I get my milk heated up, then I get another cup and I pour my hot chocolate into the other cup. Then I put my hot chocolate in the bottom of the coffee mug and then I pour the milk back on top of it. How many of you have never done that?
It's just hot chocolate.
It's just
hot chocolate.
It's just another sermon. I know it's just hot chocolate. You can just see a little kid trying to do that, right? You can just see that stuff spilled everywhere. But everything's got to be soaked. And I said all that to say this. It doesn't have anything to do with what I want to say, but I said all that to say this. This morning I got that hot chocolate, and when it comes out of the microwave, it's hot. Which means that if you pour it on yourself, you will get burned. And you know what happens when you get burned? It hurts. And if you pour boiling water on yourself, you will hurt for a long time. You might not sleep very good that night. And so I poured that carefully, that hot milk into this other cup. And the thought came to me several years ago when we were living in New York. And we were cooking. We had some hot, boiling hot soup. And we were trying to pour it into a coffee mug so we could take it to work with us. And you know what we did, don't you? Poured it all over my hand. That was a very bad experience. So I said all that to say this. When I pour my hot chocolate into the other cup, I'm very, very careful. With age comes experience. You know some things that your kids don't know. You've been some places and been through some things that other people don't know. And it does something to you. There are memories there. And hopefully they're helpful memories, or you have learned to channel those memories so that they are encouraging to your walk with God and the people around you. That's the purpose of trial. That's the purpose of tribulation, is to teach us things. And so with age comes experience. It's a shame to see some of the things that kids are going through today. It's a shame to see some of the trials and tribulations that young children are asked to endure. We were listening in the radio on the way to church this morning about a child that had been torn away from the parents in the tsunami in Japan that they had found several days, had been lost for several days. They found it in its car seat or whatever that it was in at the time, but still living and still breathing. And it's amazing the trauma that children are asked to go through these days. They never even have a chance to be a kid. And as you get older, you go through some things. And hopefully you learn some things. When I worked at Aldi, we were always hiring these new people. We hired this one young girl. And she was a dynamo. She was like a tornado. She could plow through that store and throw groceries everywhere and get a lot of things done. And at the time, we were still working in Fairfield. Our business had gotten down to where that we ran the store with one person. And we would go in the morning, put out the produce and the bread and everything that needed to be taken care of. We would open up the store, and then we would start to stock. And we would stock in between customers. We even took our lunch in between customers. And it wasn't anything for us to work the whole entire day by ourselves, open and close, and with no help. And some experiences there. We used to have these old registers with that had the 10 key on them, and you had to punch in all the numbers. You had to have them all memorized, and you had to be able to punch them in without looking. And they had those old receipt rolls in them. How many remember registers with them old receipt rolls in them? See, I'm older than you think I am today. And I got this call on the phone because them old receipt rollers, they were kind of ticky, Brother Davis. Sometimes they snagged and they worked really good, and other times they wouldn't. They just turned and you couldn't get the receipt tape going, and it shut down the whole works until you got the tape replaced. Thank God for those new laser printers. You just pop the top and throw the spool out and pop the new spool in and close the top on it, and it goes. But then I got a call on the telephone. Robert, you need to come out here right away because I can't get the receipt paper put in the register. And I have a line of people. And it just so happened I lived 3 minutes away from the store, and I got in my car. And Jack slapped that stick shift all the way to Aldi's and pulled up at the front door and ran into the front door and went over to the register and hooked up that register and closed the thing, got it going, and went back into the house. With age comes experience. You learn how to do some things. You learn how to deal with some things. And I was that young girl one time. I was in that position that she was in where I didn't know what to do. And I had a line of customers in that. And that stinking receipt roll would not take like it was supposed to. And I had to calm my nerves and steel my nerves. And the customers were back there glaring at me. And figure out how to make that thing work. Because with experience also comes patience. Write that down in your notes. I knew that I could solve that problem. I knew that I could take care of that problem. I could probably have taken care of that problem with my eyes closed because my hands knew what to do. They had experience. And I was able to walk in there and very calmly put that thing together. With experience comes patience. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy. Remember that. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And that word patience, that word perfect means complete, mature, whole. The word patience in Webster's means the capacity for waiting, The ability to endure waiting, delay, or provocation without becoming annoyed or upset. To persevere calmly when faced with difficulties. What are we preaching about today? We need to act our age. We live in a society where when things happen, people go crazy. They get all upset. They get all bent out of shape when things don't go like they're supposed to go. And they've got a flat tire, or this kid got in the mud, or the dog threw up on the floor, or, you know, there's a million different things that could happen and go on. And I don't know if it's my DNA or my makeup, but when something happens, it seems as though, like, my mind just instantly focuses. It is so easy to get irritated when something doesn't go right. And the reality that you learn as you age is the more irritated you are, the more impossible the solution becomes. You know what I'm talking about? Where are my glasses, Mary? I know they're right here somewhere. That's why the aged people buy those little necklace things and they wear them on their neck, because they always know that their glasses are right here. But the more frustrated you get about trying to find something because you know it's here somewhere, the more stressed you are, the more unlikely it will be that you'll ever see it. With experience comes patience. And when you find yourself stressing, what do? You stop. Now, the last time I had those glasses on, and what makes it all the more maddening is because without your glasses, you can't see anything. It's all here. No, life can be like that in a lot of ways. And the more intense, we did a sermon, we did a Bible study from the book Crucial Conversations on Wednesday night last year for several months, a couple of months, I think, and we learned some amazing things about the brain, how that it shuts itself down. That when you become upset, and we're going to get into that here in just a minute, that when you begin to get uptight, that your facilities and your mental faculties shut down, and you become more like a wild animal than a thinking human being. It is a scientific fact. The blood drains from your head when you get upset, and your vision literally narrows. You lose your peripheral vision when you're angry. Only thing you see is what's right in front of you. God help whatever's in front of you. That's why when guys are mad, what do? They punch the wall. Right? That's why when you're mad, what do? You kick the dog. Why? Because the only thing you can see is what's right in front of you. Your kidneys and your adrenaline glands start pumping adrenaline into your body, and you have all of this energy, and you can't think like a normal human being would. And with experience comes patience. You stop and you think about what's happening and what you're going to do next before you do it. And many times, and people look at you and they think, what's wrong with you? How come you're not upset? I'll tell you why I'm upset. I'm not upset because I have experience and I have patience. My son gets upset when I let the gas get down in the car. Dad, you need to get gas. Dad, you're going to run out of gas. Mom, Dad, look at the price of gas. $3.49 a gallon. Man, they say it's going to be up to $5 a gallon. You know me, I got to egg it on. No, that's not what I heard, Stuart. I heard it's going to be up to $8 a gallon. But it just drives you nuts. You need to get gas. I know. Do I look like I have problems? I mean, I'm driving. I can see that I need gas, but I'm going to get it when I feel like getting it. I just don't feel like getting out and getting it right now. Now this has my sister. When was the last time that you were in the car with me and we ran out of gas? Well, never. I said, well, we ain't gonna run gas today. He gets in the car still, the first thing he checks. Is that gas? Turns all the windshield wipers on, makes sure all the lights are working. I wonder sometimes there's still juice in the battery when I get in the car and he gets in every morning. I remember, Sister Mason, the time that when I was working in Aldi's in Mount Vernon. You probably heard this story before, and then I ran out of gas on my way to Mount Vernon. That was not a good experience, and I forgot to get gas. And when you get up and you go to work at 5 o'clock in the morning in Wayne County, there are no gas stations open. You got to go to Huck's. And at the time, Huck's didn't have the little things you could put your plastic card in, and I didn't want to have to go in there and do all that. Got out, got on the road, got dressed, and running down there and drove through Wayne City. And of course, their gas stations are all closed. Drove, and then all of a sudden it hit me. I don't have gas in my car. And I looked down and it was boom. And I started praying. And I went over the hill where the old Amish store is, you know, when they got gas there too, but of course they were closed. And it was all, it's all downhill from there. You can pretty much just let it glide all the way from there to Mount Vernon. And I just prayed, Lord, you know, help me not to run out of gas. And I mean, that thing was rock on the bottom. You could see all of the E, not just half of it. And I got all the way into Mount Vernon. There's a Huck's on the outside edge. And I thought, wow, I made it all the way to Mount Vernon. Brother Phil, I made it all the way to Mount Vernon. I made it this far, Brother Patrick. I'll just go ahead and go on into work. Pass that gas station by, and passed another gas station by, and finally pulled up into the CVS, glided into the CVS parking lot, and parked it. It was dead. Had to get up after work and walk the rest of the way to work, and had to go and buy a gas can and go fill it up with gas, walk down there and walk back to CVS. You learn some things in life, don't you? You learn just how far you can stretch things. You learn just how far you can go before you have to do something about your situation. And you learn patience. And there are things that we have experienced, that we have gone through in our lives. And many times the appropriate reaction of a follower of Christ is counter to what may be happening at the moment, culturally acceptable. And a lot of times a person with experience and a person with patience will not react to situations the way younger people will. They will not react to situations the way people who are not Christians will. They will not react the same way. Jesus, the Bible says he went to a home where a young girl had died. And the Bible says the house was filled with people crying and mourning and weeping. And he cast all of them out of the house. And they laughed at him and mocked him. Did not believe that the little girl would rise. He got rid of all of those people because they were dysfunctional. Their emotions were out of control. They weren't acting their age. They were just basket cases. And Jesus, in turn, raised the girl from the dead.
Right.
At his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, children were singing. Adults were laying their coats and palm fronds down in the streets. And they were celebrating the arrival of the healer, Jesus. But Jesus was not celebrating with them, but he wept over Jerusalem because he knew that in just a few or short days' time, those same people were going to crucify him. While the disciples were hiding behind closed doors and afraid to rejoice at the news of Jesus' resurrection, Jesus came into the room through the door, and he said, "Be of good cheer, it is I."
Right.
Sometimes we need to act our age. We need to use the experiences that life have given us and start to act our age. It's embarrassing and a shame when a person who is of age, an elder, an aged person in the church, we're talking about somebody that's getting senior citizen discount, that'd be 55 years and north of that. has a temper tantrum. Oh my God, there's something wrong with that person. Hello? I know you hate it when I say that. Goodbye. Is that what you want me to say? Right? You got a person like that that is supposed to be mature, that is supposed to be filled with patience, and they're stressed out, and they're annoyed, and they're irritated. You look at that person, you say, something wrong with them. Why? What's wrong with them? They're not acting their age. The Bible says in Luke 21:19, in your patience possess ye your souls. You better be careful about acting your age, because if you're not, you can lose your salvation. And with patience comes self-control. I'm not getting a lot of amens here today. I didn't last week either. Nobody gets a break in the kingdom of God. Everybody has to pull their weight and do their part. With patience comes self-control. Write that down in your notes. A quotation says, people who fly into a rage always make a bad landing. Another quotation says, the end usually never justifies the means. Another quotation says, you can't save face if you lose your head. Now I'm here to tell you that I am all for miracles. I am all for healings and signs and wonders. I'm all for tongues and interpretation and words of prophecy, knowledge, wisdom. I am all for gifts of faith and all of those things. I'm all for shouting and feeling the ecstasy of God's presence. I'm all for all of those things, friends. But let me tell you something today. You are a witness and a light to this community. And if you're out there acting like a little baby, then you are going to bring down the witness and the capability and the impact of this church. Now, if you think I'm preaching at you and I heard something and somebody called me or I read something in the newspaper and I'm picking on you today, you need to act your age and grow up, because I am preaching this to everybody and I don't have anybody in mind right now. Closing my eyes. There's an ancient legend that Abraham invited into his tent a man who at mealtime gave no thanks to God for his mercy. Whereupon the patriarch drove him forth into the desert, unfed and unsheltered. But in the night, God touched Abraham and awoke him, saying to him, where is the stranger? Abraham said, when he did not fear you nor thank you, I drove him forth. God rebuked him, saying, who made you his judge? I have borne with him all these years. Could you not bear with him for one night? Have you learned nothing from my mercy to you? You know, it would be a miracle. It would be a miracle if the love of God for a lost world begat no love in the hearts of those whom his love bound with himself. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 33 is the ending on the parable of the man who was forgiven a great debt. And he in turn took his neighbor who owed him but pennies. And he had him thrown in prison. And the master that forgave this man a great debt became incensed. And after considering what he had heard, he called the man in and spoke to him. And he said in Matthew 18:33, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? Now, I've been a pastor for 6.5 years, and I've been in the church all my life. And I'm here to tell you that what I'm preaching to you today is valid and relevant. Amen. There are people who will not darken the doors of a church because they know that so-and-so goes to that church. And they know how so-and-so really is. And we do more damage to the kingdom of God when we do not act our age and fulfill our role in the kingdom of God as elders and aged in the church. Just because you've reached retirement age doesn't give you a right to break the laws of the land. Just because you've reached retirement age doesn't all of a sudden give you a right to do whatever and say whatever you feel or please when and wherever that you like. Just because you're retired and no longer punch a time clock does not mean that your time is yours now and you can just do whatever you feel like with it. We still are responsible to God. We still are responsible to our fellow man. We still are responsible to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We still are responsible to our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. We still are responsible to act like Christians and evermore, even more than we ever have been before in our lives. When the darkest clouds of the Civil War were hovering over the Capitol, many things done by the generals were not approved by either Lincoln or Secretary Stanton. And Lincoln would take a long time to ponder over those situations. But Stanton would at times lose his temper and explode. One day Stanton came to see Lincoln about the doings of a certain general. And listening quietly, Lincoln let Stanton show his anger. And when the latter exclaimed, "I would like to write him a letter and tell him what I think of him," Lincoln remarked quietly, "Well, why not do so? Sit down and write him a letter saying all you have said to me." Stanton was surprised, for he thought that President Lincoln would object to this, and he declared that he would take the president up on his word. And 2 days later, he brought Lincoln the letter he had written and read it to him. And when Stanton had finished, Lincoln smiled, and he remarked, "That is all right. You have said all you told me you would. Now, what are you going to do with this letter?" Stanton said, "Why, I'm going to give it to him, of course." "I wouldn't," replied the president quietly. "Throw it in the wastebasket." "After spending 2 days on it?" exclaimed Stanton. "Yes. It took you 2 days to write it, and it did you a lot of good. You feel a great deal better now, and that is all that is necessary." The letter went to the wastebasket, and Stanton learned an important lesson. With age comes experience. With experience comes patience. With patience comes self-control. Proverbs chapter 14 to verse 29 says, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." Proverbs 16 and 32, "Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." Amen? And there was a wise man in the Old Testament, wasn't there? And he delivered a city by his wisdom without an arrow being shot against it. There was a wise woman in the Old Testament. I believe in one story there was a man that was running because he had done some things and he was on the docket to have his life taken from him, and Joab was chasing him with the armies of Israel, and he went into a city and holed up in the city, and Joab got the armies of Israel around the city, and they were preparing to besiege it, and they would have killed everybody in that city. And they were their own countrymen. But the wise person in the city said, "Why are you here to fight with your own countrymen? What are you doing?" And Joab said, "I am here for this guy. And if you'll give us this guy, we'll leave you alone." And the wise person said, "You'll have his head in just a minute." And a couple of minutes later, the head of the man that Joab was after was thrown over the city wall. That's pretty gruesome, isn't it? But that wise person saved the whole city. Because a person who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Proverbs 29 and 11. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. What am I saying? With self-control comes joy and wisdom. Write that down in your notes. With self-control comes joy and wisdom. There's no joy in being angry. There's no joy in saying mean things to people. There's no joy in it. Unless you are into some sort of a martial arts and it's a hobby for you and that sort of thing and it's a sport to you. There's no joy in having to hurt somebody or to be hurt. And according to the Word of God, there's no wisdom in it. You say, well, that one lady, they had the man's head cut off. That's true. But his head was going to get cut off one way or the other. It wasn't a matter of them being mean and being violent, but they were saving the city. And it was a very wise thing that they did. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those that love him. What did James say at the beginning of that chapter? Do you remember when we read it earlier and I said, remember that? What did he say earlier? He said, count it all joy when you fall into different types of trials. Knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, I understand if a child can't get their remote control car to work right. And it keeps turning into the wall and banging into the wall and it won't work. I can understand a little boy being annoyed and upset with his car. If a young man is working on his vehicle and he can't get a nut to turn loose on his engine and he rubs his knuckles raw, I can understand that young man to throw that tool on the ground and kick a ding in the side of the fender of his car or whatever. I can understand that. I probably will do the same thing myself if I was his age. But we were dealing with doing a remodel at one of our houses that we lived at, and we were trying to put a new shower stall in, and it wouldn't fit because the house was 7 years old and the house kind of went like that. And it couldn't get to fit in there. And so he was trying to scrape away at the tuba fours to where it was stuck. And after he broke a sweat for a little while, he stopped what he was doing. He said, you know what my dad always told me? He always told me that if you can't do a job, go get a bigger tool. And he went out to the car and he got his power lathe. And he brought that thing in and he went, and he just started throwing chips or whatever. Put that tub right in there in about 5 minutes. I can understand a young man chipping away and getting frustrated. But what I can't understand is an aged man or an aged woman acting like a kid. Acting like a little baby. That's what I can't understand. Because with self-control and age comes joy. And wisdom. And don't you know that carpenter felt good about that? Don't you know that just reinforced something in his mind of experience and patience and knowledge and all of those things. And we learn from our mistakes and we learn from our failures and we go through hard times and we learn to think things through. And it gives us joy when we face situations. And I got the answer to that question. I can solve that problem. Bible's not saying it's fun to go through hard times. But the Bible says that we need to look to the end. Jesus, the Bible says, we preached this not too long ago, Jesus, who for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. And so what that means is that He had His eye on the joy. He knew that His trial was going to bring a blessing. He knew that the suffering, He was going to learn something. He knew that there were going to be many sons come to righteousness. Sons and daughters born into the kingdom. When you go through a trial and you're an aged individual, you should look at that trial with joy. You should look on the other side of that trial. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Is that okay?
Yes.
Can I just tell you what the Bible says? Now, if you don't like me and my crazy illustrations, and you don't like me and my rough-edged speech or whatever, you don't have to. That's not a necessity to get into heaven. But you do have to like what the Bible says. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11 says, "May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy." Well, we're going to go through another trial. It's another trial. You know? Do you see anything wrong with that picture and what the Bible is talking about here? Well, or, you know, tough it out, you know. The Bible doesn't say tough it out. The Bible doesn't say put on your stoical face. The Bible doesn't say, you know, drag your lip and trip on it. And complain and whine and murmur about everything that you have to go through. The Bible says count it joy. Now I'm here to tell you that it may not be an easy thing for some of us to do. Nobody said it was going to be easy. But I'm here to tell you something today. That when you see an individual that is going through hard times with a smile on their face, they are gaining something through their trials. There's a lot of people go through a lot of trials and they don't learn a thing, a blessed thing. There are people that have been in a job for 40 years and they're just as dumb as a box of rocks as they were the day they started on the job. There's people that's been in a job for 40 years and they have 40 years of experience. And there's people that's been in a job for 40 years and they got 1 year of experience repeated over and over and over, and they keep making the same mistakes and they cry and complain because we got to go to computers, and they cry and complain because there's innovations. My God, bring me an innovation. Oh, you can just see me when I worked at Aldi's. We had them little. How many of you ever worked at little hand pump or pallet jacks? Mm-hmm. Little hydraulic deals. You set it down and you go shook 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 shook, and then you pull it. Oh, and you got to try to stop. And they came out with those long legged barrels. Hallelujah. Power. Woo. You hear what I'm saying? Power, baby. Then it came out with the new German office jacks with stabilizer wheels, and it'll come up this high off the ground like a forklift. The vice president came into all these one day. He said, "Well, what do you think about these new jacks?" I said, "If this new jack goes, I go. Because this is the most awesome thing that has ever come along since I've been working here." I was excited about it. But it brought new problems. It brought new struggles. Now they're stacking things in the trucks and you got to unstack them. Well, you didn't have to do that before because they couldn't do that. And now you're dealing with all sorts of issues, and those jacks don't fit in the holes that the old jacks did because the barrels didn't have any side stabilizers. You got an extra 6 to 8 inches of clearance that you need to get in the same way. You can't get in the same hole. Well, these things won't put full pallets in the same hole that the other jacks would. And so, why they got there? They're not that great. I don't even want to use it. Just for you. I want the old jack. No. Don't take the old jack. Here, it's a hand pumper. Get the hydraulic hand pumper. We've saved it for you. You're never too old to learn something new, folks. You're never too old to take an innovation to the next level. You're never too old. It's just what you think in your mind. Yeah, I forgot to put the forks down a few times and stabbed a few pallets and shot soda all over the place and stabbed into the sugar pallets. And yeah, I put a pallet of corn, 102 cases of 24 cans each of corn, trying to put it into a hole with that jack, and it's too powerful, and it was jerking it back and forth, and the whole back end of it went whoosh. And I'm back there picking up the cans. That thing throws a pallet on. No, it's a tool. It's a new tool, and it's made for a purpose. You use the old tools for the old things, and the new tools. It's okay, everybody. We need to act our age. We need to, you know, you don't have to be stuck in the 1950s. You're still alive. You're still breathing. It is still possible for you to learn some new ways of doing things. It's the most horrible thing to see an elder person get stuck in their minds and get stuck in a rut. And they're all focused on and worried about all the things that they can't do anymore. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody this morning, but I'm just telling you, I've seen this time and time and time and time again. On the job, out in the community, across this country, I've seen it time and time and time again. Nobody says it's going to be easy, but you have to understand that you're not Jack LaLanne. You're not going to swim across the British Channel pulling 52 rowboats behind you. You've got to understand there are some things you can't do anymore. You've got to understand that as you age, you move on to other things in your life. Y'all are sitting there laughing saying, I can't wait till he gets to be 75 years old. He'll find out then. I asked Brother Pappas before church, I said, so how is it to be 60? He said, oh, it's the same old, same old. Same old, same old. I said, well, I'll tell you what, then I'm just going to stay 40. If it's the same old, Sister Bailey, I'm just going to stay 40. If it ain't no different at 60 than 40, I'm just going to stay here. Oh, you learn things. That's right. They've been telling me for years, Brother Rob, you're going to gain weight. You're going to get fat. You're going to have sags and bags everywhere. And to when you get married, you're going to gain weight. Well, I got married 18 years ago. Never gained an ounce. They told me, well, when you go full time and you're not working that job anymore, you're going to gain weight. Well, I went full time 2.5 years, almost 3 years ago. I never gained an ounce. They told me, well, Brother Ron, when you turn 40, you're going to start packing her on. I turned 42 years ago. Never gained an ounce. But on the winter of 2010, 2011, I gained a couple pounds. Things change when you get older, that's right. I used to laugh at Brother Clemens because he had all them gray hairs growing up around, like weeds around the side of his ears. Now I got little gray hairs growing out of my eyebrows. I'm like, Lord, have mercy, where them things come from? And they grow faster than everything else. You have a responsibility to this generation that's coming up. And as long as God has you here on this earth, He has you here for a purpose. He has you here for a reason. And you have got to find a way, ladies and gentlemen, you have got to find a way to present your gifts to this generation. You have got to find a way to act your age. You are dealing with things that you have never dealt with before. You are going through trials that nobody that is younger than you has probably ever had to go through. You are paving a pathway. You are blazing a trail through the undergrowth and the confusion of this world. You are blazing a pathway in spiritual wickedness and in the kingdom of Satan. I was praying one day, and this has been several years ago, and I was praying about the church and the strength of the church, and God says, you want to know where the strength of the church is? And He asked me this question in prayer, and I said, Lord, where is the strength of the church? And then God popped this picture of Sister Bailey in my mind. He said, there's the strength of the church. His God, His economy is not like ours. And Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. And you may not be able to do nothing hardly but raise a hand or whisper a prayer. But I'm here to tell you that if in your weakened condition that you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, it means more than 1,000 young people climbing the walls and jumping up and down in the ears and the eyes of God. And all of those things are good and fine in their place. But there is nothing like a person of age who has experienced the trial and tribulations of life, when they lift their hands and their voice in prayer and praise to God, that will move, amen, and shake the foundations of heaven, and that will shake the very gates of hell. I'm here to tell some of you older folks today that you need to act your age, and you need to own up to the responsibilities that you have, and you need to let God be God in your life, and let God use you to do mighty things in these last days. You are a crucial link. The Bible says when the elders that were with Joshua and the elders that outlived Joshua died, that the children of Israel went astray. You need to pass this blessing on to the next generation. Let's all stand together for a few moments and do that today with us. An old man on the long highway came in the evening cold and gray to a chasm that was deep and wide, through which there flowed a swelling tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The torrents had no fears for him, but he turned when safe to the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. "Old man," cried a fellow traveler near, "you're wasting time in building here. Your journey will end with the light of day, and never again will you pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build a bridge now at eventide?" The builder lifted his old gray head. "My friend, I need no bridge," he said. "But on the path that I have walked today comes a youth whose feet must pass this way. The chasm that was nothing at all to me, to that young man may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. My friend, I am building this bridge for him. The question is not, will our children and grandchildren have faith, folks? But the question is, will our faith have children and grandchildren?" Let's bow our heads together right now. Jesus, God, we know that you have intentionally directed us into this Bible study series, and you have intentionally directed us to preach these things in this service this morning to these wonderful saints that are gathered here. Lord Jesus, we ask you, God, as each and every blessed elder of our church is going through trials and tribulations and dealing with the vagaries of growing older and the weakness of the body, the dimness of the mind, and the struggles that they go through, God, I pray that their eyes would never lose sight of the joy that is before them, and that their eyes would never lose sight of the generation that's coming behind them, that they build a memorial so that the generations to follow will remember. Oh God, that the generations to follow will remember and carry forth the joyful anthem of praise in serving our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, for His sacrifice on Calvary. Let the elders of our church and the aged in our church, God, understand, oh Lord Jesus, and realize and show them what things and ministries that they are called to implement and complete in their last days. Let them sense and feel, God, and know what they need to do, that they might bring glory to you in their last hour on this earth, God, I pray. And not be afraid, oh God, of the faces and dismay of the young people. not be afraid, O God, of the weakness of their own body. But let them, O Lord Jesus, have faith against faith. And these last days, God, let them leave a testimony in the hearts of those that are coming behind them. We ask this in Jesus' name today. If you have been struggling to act your age, and you have been struggling with being irritated, having a bad...